Chapter 7. Don't click like. Practices. Practice 1. Don't click like. Despite what many people believe, Facebook did not invent the like button. It was invented in October 2007 by a service called FriendFeed, which nearly everyone has forgotten. But when Facebook created the thumbs up like button 16 months later, social media changed forever. The reason that the like button was created is very simple. Facebook noticed that many people were all saying almost the same thing about a post. For example, great or I love it. The like button was an easier way to show that you liked something. Using it saved time. Also, it meant that the Facebook comments could be reserved for more interesting things. In the beginning, Facebook was something fun that people checked occasionally. Then came the like button, which was followed by messages which arrived at different times asking people to like other people's posts. This made people want to check Facebook all the time. It also gave Facebook a lot more easily organized data about the things you like. This meant that Facebook could show you posts and advertisements which they knew would interest you because they had your data. So, it is not surprising that other social media companies copied Facebook and added a one-click like button. However, I do not want to focus on why like buttons are good for social media companies. Instead, I want to explain why they are bad for us. This is because, as humans, we need real communication. As I explained in the previous chapter, our brains are designed to get huge amounts of information from face-to-face conversations. When we replace these real conversations with a single click, it is like buying a Ferrari racing car and then pulling it behind a horse. This practice gets you to change the way you think about the like buttons on social media. Put simply, you should stop using them. Don't click like. Never click it. And also, stop leaving comments on social media posts as well. No, so cute or so cool. Instead, remain silent. Why am I being so strict about not using like buttons and two-word comments? It is because when you use them, this teaches your brain that these basic connections are a good replacement for conversation. They are not. If you think that they are, you will spend too much time on short connections and not enough time on real conversations. When you totally stop clicking like, you are sending your brain a clear message. Only real conversations are important. Nothing else matters. You might think it is possible to click like and have real conversations, but most people cannot do both. Some people worry that if they stop clicking like, their online followers will get upset. For example, one person told me that she was worried about what her friends would think. If she did not comment on her friend's baby picture, her friend would think she was being rude. If you are worried about people thinking that you are rude, and if a friend is really important for you, you need to use your time to arrange a real conversation with her. If you visit a new mom, this is much better for both of you than if you add a short, aww, to a list of comments under the picture. If you warn your friends that you are not using social media a lot these days, this will stop most people from complaining. For example, the woman who visited her friend with a new baby brought a meal with her so that her friend did not have to cook. That was worth 100 two-word comments. However, it is true that when you stop commenting on social media, you will lose some of your followers. Most of the followers you lose will be people who only connect with you through social media. My advice is simple. If you lose these followers, it really does not matter. This might sound unkind, but the idea that it is a good thing to have huge numbers of followers was only invented in the last 10 years. Before that, humans had lived good lives without sending small pieces of information each month to people who they were at school with for a short time. As one professor who teaches social media told me, "I don't think we're meant to be in contact with so many people." In the end, you will be the person who decides how you want to use social media. Your decision will depend on many different things, so it is not simple. But my advice is simple. Do not click and do not comment. Your social life will be so much better. Practice 2. Change how you text. If you want to change your social life from connection back to real communication, texting can be a big problem. This is because, for many people, texting is a very important part of being friends with someone. Your friends might expect you to be available all the time, to be ready to read the texts they send you and to reply to them straight away. For this reason, if you stop texting, it can be much more difficult for your friends to accept than if you stop clicking like or leaving short messages on social media. You do not want to lose your friends, so you need to be able to text. But you also realize that texting is not real communication, so you want to text less. The idea I am going to suggest is a way to solve this problem. My suggestion is this: you need to change how you text. This practice suggests that you set your phone to do not disturb all the time. On both Android phones and iPhones, do not disturb turns off notifications when text messages arrive. If you are worried about emergencies, you can easily change your settings so that you still receive texts from a selected list. For example, your husband or wife, your children's school. You can also change your phone so that it goes to do not disturb at selected times of the day. With do not disturb, text messages become like emails. If you want to see if anyone has sent you something, you must turn on your phone and open the app. You can now choose special times for texting. You can use this time to check all the texts you have received since the last time you checked. You can send replies if you need to, and perhaps you can continue texting for a bit before you apologize and explain that you have to go. Then you should turn your phone back to do not disturb and continue your day. There are several reasons for trying this. First, if you text less, you'll have more time for real face-to-face conversations, as you will not have to stop or interrupt them to reply to other people's texts. Texting less will also make you calmer, as constantly getting messages increases our stress. Another reason for trying it is that it will actually improve your relationships. When your family and friends are able to contact you at any time, the conversations you have will often be unimportant. On the other hand, if you only check your messages occasionally, this will start to change. They will still be able to send you a message and get a reply, but not straight away. But the messages they send will be ones that they have thought about and have decided are important, so they will be more valuable. In other words, when you are less available by text, your relationships with other people will be stronger. You can be the one person in their life who really talks to them regularly and who does not just send them quick text messages which do not mean anything. Of course, changing how you text can cause problems until people get used to it. If people are used to being able to text you at any time, then they might find it hard when you are no longer available straight away. But these problems are easy to solve. Just tell your family and friends that you check your texts several times a day, so if they send you something, you will see it soon. Also tell them that if they need you urgently, they can always call you. This is when you should change your Do Not Disturb settings to allow calls from a special list of people. This practice is another good example of digital minimalism. You can keep all the good parts of the technology, but you also avoid its bad effects. Practice 3. Have conversation office times. For more than 100 years, the phone has been a great way to have high-quality conversations over long distances. However, there is a problem with phones. Because you cannot see the person who you are about to interrupt with a phone call, you do not always know if the person you are calling will be happy to get the call. I can remember being nervous about phoning my friends when I was a child. Who from my friend's family will answer? How will they feel about getting my call? Because of this, it is not a surprise that many people now prefer easier ways of communicating, such as emails and texts. There is a way to help you solve this problem and to enjoy high-quality phone conversations without worrying. I learned this practice from a technology expert who uses it to improve his conversations with his friends and family. He tells them that he is always available to speak to them on the phone at 5:30 p.m. on weekdays. You do not need to arrange your phone call before you call him. You can just call him and speak to him. In fact, 5:30 p.m. is the time he starts to drive home from work. The traffic is always bad, so he decided he wanted to use his traveling time in a good way, so he invented the 5:30 p.m. conversation rule. This simple idea means that he has fewer low-quality connections and more high-quality conversations. If you write him with a difficult question, he will say, "I'd love to discuss that. Call me at 5:30 p.m. any day you want." When he wants to speak to someone who he has not spoken to for a long time, he can send them a quick note saying, "I'd love to find out what's happening in your life. Call me at 5:30 p.m. sometime." I am sure that his friends and family will already know his 5:30 p.m. rule. Because of this, they will feel happy to call him any day they want, and they will not worry about calling because they know he will always be available at 5:30 p.m. and will be happy to take their call. This person has a better social life than many people I know, even though he has a busy, difficult job. That is why I am suggesting that you follow his example. For this practice, you should decide on special days and special times when you will always be available for conversations. These conversations could be on the phone or face-to-face. It depends on where you are. Once you have decided on these dates and times, tell all your friends and family about them. If someone texts you or contacts you on social media, suggest they call or meet you during your office times. When you have decided your office times, it is also easier for you to contact people who you have not spoken to for some time. You can ask them to speak to you during your office times the next time they are available. I have seen this idea working well in different situations. It is a good way to use time that you would normally waste, for example, when you are traveling to and from work. You can also have coffee shop times. When you choose a special time each week to go to your favorite coffee shop with a newspaper or a good book. Then you tell people that you will always be at the coffee shop on the same day and at the same time. You might get a group of people who come and meet each other when you are there. I use this practice in my own life. Professors have to offer some time to students who are in their classes once a week so that they can ask us questions. When I was first at Georgetown, I realized that I wanted to offer this time to all the students in the university, not just the ones in my classes. So when any student writes me to ask a question or ask for advice, I tell them my regular office times and invite them to come and see me. And they do. This means I see more students than if I tried to arrange a different time for every person who contacted me. Having office times will remove any worries people have about calling you at the wrong time. You'll be surprised at how many valuable conversations you can have in a normal week.